And good morning and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ. It is September 29th, 2024. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. And before we get started, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've made. And we just ask, Father, that you continue to bless your people, raise your people up, raise men and women of God up once again in this land. We thank you that we are your people and that you are our God. We're grateful for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you continue to guide us and direct us in all that we do, that you strengthen us and that you encourage us and that you be with us and that we can be a blessing to you and your kingdom. We recognize that it's not about us, but it's about you and your kingdom, and we're grateful for that, and we thank you for all these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, today we've got a special treat. Brother Zach, he drove all the way out from Michigan to be with us here in person today. So we're thankful to have him here in person. Thankful for the man that he is and for the work that our Heavenly Father is doing through him and with him. Just want to tell you a little bit about Zach. Zach's a very good friend of mine. Known Zach for a long time. Anybody that meets Zach, you can tell that, he's a Christian. And I think first and foremost, he's a Christian. He loves his God. He loves his family, and he's got a love for his country and his kinsmen, people across this land. And it's been really exciting and humbling to see how God has continued to work through him over the last several years. And just very grateful and thankful to be able to have him here in person today.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, September 29th, 2024, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome you all out there. We're glad you join us. We're glad you join us on the internet. It's a beautiful day here in LaPorte, and I just would like to say that I'm truly thankful to be here. I like to make it out here about once a year. If I could do more, I would, but just as you guys all know how life is, you just get so busy, and it's about a 14 or 15 hour drive out here, so it doesn't happen too often. So as usual, we're going to start out by defining who Jesus Christ is, and that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's the definition of who Jesus Christ is, what he thinks. And is we as Christian men and women, soldiers, we are obligated to know the Word from Genesis chapter 1 to the final word that says amen in Revelation. And that is how we know who Jesus Christ is. And I would like to go back to verse 3 in John chapter 1 there. And it says, all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So the beginning of that verse, it says, all things came into being through him. So what John is saying in that verse is whether it's good or bad, it came into being through him. God, there's a verse in the Old Testament where God says, I made the good and the evil. And he made right, wrong, hot, cold, sky, ground, water, air. He made everything. So the way we are right now, what we're in, it's from God. Whether the political system, it is because God said so. And we know by when we know our Bibles, It's because of the lack of respect, the lack of obedience to his word, then there is going to be, God is obligated, he is forced to put a negative spin and outcome on our futures, whether it be our personal lives, our families, counties, nation, whatever. If you do not use God's word, as here at this ministry we like to say, you know, we talk on national terms. If you do not use God's words as like our political system and obey his word and his law, then we know that there's going to be a negative effect in the land. So last week, before I talked to Jason, and I asked him to do a repeat of a lesson I did, what it is, and you guys are all familiar with the gospel story of God's plan, why he did what he did, why Jesus came. He came for Israel. He came to release her from that marital law, to so that way, if she chose to come back to him, be baptized, and uphold his political system, that is what Jesus did. That's what the word says. And on that repeat lesson, like, you know, we quickly went through what basically what the book, The Greatest Love Story Never Told, that Pastor Peters wrote. We just compounded it in a 40-minute or however long it was, that story. And that is the real reason why Jesus came back. It was to buy her back because she had that writ of divorce, and he promised her dad. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing for Israel. That's a good thing for the world and all other people. Unless you're an Edomite, you're just kind of, that's a whole different topic. And I'm probably not educated enough to get in it. Well, I probably am, but I just, with my job and what I do at home, that's a lot of digging and to get into that kind of stuff. And maybe I will when I get things a little more organized in my life. But the reason why the world and our country and our families, like, the family unit has been dissolved in this country and in the world. Well, why? Well, lack of teaching. And when we read John 1 and we go to verse 3, all things came into being through him. He created everything. So he is forced to make that unit dissolve. He is forced to make that country dissolved because of lack of obedience. It's all done by him and his power. So last week, we replayed it, and it's this week, I wanted to talk about the reason why the churches in this land exist. Because God creates everything. So we're going to talk about it a little bit. So there's going to be one or two quick verses that are of review, and then we're going to get into a couple other things. And I've been thinking about this lesson for a while, and I hope I have the ability to verbally project what's in my mind out. And like you've heard me say it before, the Bible is written from a male perspective, from a husband's perspective, towards a wife. And like, even when you read in Matthew, and like when Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that's from, if you know the Old Testament, that's from that perspective that God had to abandon his wife because of disobedience. And you wouldn't have that notion if you don't know the history. But Israel has a horrible habit of chasing after other gods. They have gods that you're not. She doesn't like to be held accountable for her actions. And like, even in a marriage here on earth, like, you'll see men, they'll they'll sit there and they will cover for things that their wives do. Like, they, if they say something, like, oh, you know, and then they'll go and they'll smooth things over. And, like, I've seen that happen a lot. And I'm not saying that what is going on in that marriage is a, is there, there's any, like, you know, it's not any ill intent on each side. It's just, it just kind of happens, you know, because, you know, men and women see things differently. And so Israel has a bad habit of not wanting to take accountability for her actions. And we're just going to go through a few scriptures here. And then towards the end, I'll kind of, hopefully I can tie everything together. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hosea chapter 4. And we begin in verse 8. And it says, they feed on the sin of my people. They direct their desire toward their iniquity. So this is way of review. And this is mainly for the new people that might be listening today. There are people out there that, with Jesus' church, our God's church, his people, they profit from his people sinning. They are benefited from it. And that is also created by God. We know this to be true from Deuteronomy 28, that if there's sin, then the alien will raise higher. So the system and people's minds can deceive themselves, and what they believe to be truth, to be true, can lead them astray. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 11. Now, this is about the Tower of Babel. Now, we all here know that the Babylonian system, the Tower of Babel, this story is it's an action taking place by a group of people outside of what God would call as right and proper, and it is outside of his will. This is a thing that is being done that does not give God credit. The Babylonian system is a replacement for God's system. It is Satan's system. And most of you out there are very familiar with the book of Jasher and how Esau took over the Babylonian system by killing Nimrod. This is before that took place, this time frame here. So Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, we're going to begin by reading. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. So why is this important? The whole earth had an ability to communicate. A guy that I really respect, he always talks about when you're in business, the reason why people fail and the reason why people succeed is because the winners have an ability to communicate well with everybody in the system that they create. So whether you're doing let's say you're in a construction business and there is what generally happens, there's a job superintendent. So there's a company that won that bid. And what they do, they hire all these other subcontractors, and then they put the job superintendent, the representative of the company that's over it, and then they communicate with the concrete guys, the foundation guys, the electrical guys, the framers, this and that. And they orchestrate all these people to work together to accomplish one goal. So you see here, the entire world had an ability to communicate and to basically project a goal to accomplish. The entire earth did. That's why it's important. And I think Christians, they really, 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 really need to learn how, they need to work on their communication skills. In fact, I would say Christians as a whole, actual Christians that are in the know, their biggest handicap is an inability to communicate. But we see here, these people had the ability to communicate. And it came about as they journeyed east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower, whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So for some reason, and the Bible doesn't really give you a reason, at least not that I'm aware of, they understood that there was going to be a consequence if they did not do this. That's actually the first time I've ever even recognized that. So these people, they band together and they talked and communicated this goal. Verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they shall have the same language. There you go. Here's that key about communication again. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad. So there they ended up receiving the punishment that they were worried about in the first place. Scattered them over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, that name which was called Babel, therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, this is what is known as, this is like the first mention of a Babylonian system in our Bibles. And what are the ingredients to where, which made it powerful? They were able to communicate and they were able to work together. And they were trying to avoid a punishment. And what was God's response? His response was, they are of the same language. So he recognized that they could talk and they could communicate. Now, were they in? Would have God considered their actions righteous? No, he didn't consider their actions righteous. But notice the amount of power that these people possessed. He said if they do that, they'll be able to do anything that they want to do. So these people, even though they weren't in the will of God, God didn't consider them to be a righteous people. He recognized that they possessed power and a great amount of it. Why? Because they were able to communicate and they were able to work together and they were on their way. So, and God went in there and he basically put an end to it. And he confused their language. He took away their ability to communicate. Now, like, I was listening to a podcast yesterday on the way out there, and the guy was talking about his podcast was going to be translated through this new AI system to where it was going to be broadcasted in French and German and whatever, and all kinds of Spanish. Oh, like I think he said 12 different languages. And me personally, I kind of like the dude's ideas. I don't think it's a bad thing that this particular guy's getting that ability. But you see, the guy will be able to project his message to a vast amount of people. And that's why it's very careful. You have to be very careful. We as a people need to recognize that this Babylonian system, God found it to be evil, and he recognized and understood, and the people understood, the amount of power that they possessed, even though they're outside of the will of God. Now, this next... So, I'm gonna, before I continue on, this is why it's important that we study our word and know God's system. This is why it's important that we have a good ability to communicate our message. Because our message in the end will win. That's talked about on the other end of the Bible. But it is our job as the remnant and the true believers of Jesus Christ to see what happened here and recognize we have to be able to project God's system. And if we're not able to do it, then time, it'll take more time for his system to be activated. Because right now we live in a dual system. Our system, in my opinion, is more political than it is religious. And the churches today in this land do not promote that. Or they downplay it a lot. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 51. Now, a few weeks ago, Jason sent me a voicemail from a gentleman. I believe he's from Minnesota. And he was talking about Jeremiah 51. And we've heard Pastor Peters talk time and time again about how what is being preached at the pulpits is what is killing our nation. It is putting what is in people's minds what to be right and wrong. And they are actually the ones in the driver's seat, in my opinion. So, Jeremiah, well, we're going to start at chapter 48, or verse 48, excuse me. Then heaven and earth and all that is with them will shout for joy over Babylon. So Babylon, it's a comfy place to live in. People love it. We all here are beneficiaries of the Babylonian system. The problem is, it's a blended system. We've heard me talk about it before. But in the end result, there will always be destruction. And I continue by reading in verse 48. For destroyers will come to her from the north, declares the Lord. Verse 49. Indeed, Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel. As also for Babylon, the slain of all the earth have fallen. So not only is Babylon responsible for the slain of Israel, what is Israel supposed to do? They're supposed to project God's system. They're supposed to project who Jesus Christ actually is. But if you confuse and you have an ability to communicate God's system is no longer important, it has to be replaced with something. And the replacement is the Babylonian system, which is a one world system. And it starts from behind these things. That's why it's important. Well, most of people out there, I wouldn't recommend being in my position. Just because what you say, a lot of people, you know, people put their faith in what you say, and people tend to be not wanting to put in the legwork and studying for themselves. So you have to be as accurate as you can. You can't be You can't take this job lightly. And anybody that wants a job like this, I think they're crazy. But I didn't pick it. It picked me, I guess. I don't know how else to say it. But Babylon is promoted from the pulpits in this land and across this world today. And there's victims because of it. There's Israelite victims, and there's inhabitants of the earth are victims because of the lack of knowledge. You have people that are not trained. And you end up getting a fake system to where it's only going to fall. And it is promised by the word of God. Verse 50. You who have escaped the sword, depart and do not stay. Remember the Lord from afar, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. Jerusalem is God's people. Jerusalem is the possessor of the word of God. And you better study it. We are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Disgrace has covered our faces, for aliens have entered the holy places of the Lord's house. The aliens are non-Israelites. The aliens are the beneficiaries of promoting another system, another word than God's. They feed off it. And the end result is the Israel will be slain, and the inhabitants of the earth will also pay too. Why? Because of the deception that is spread out to be true. The Bible calls the Babylonian system the wine of Babylon. It feels good. It gives you a sense of false security. But in the end, they're going to get hit. Turn with me to Matthew 7. Actually, wait. Turn with me to John 14. I'm going to swap this out a little bit. Beginning reading verse 9 of John chapter 14. And Jesus said to them, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" It all ties back into John 1. "You do not believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works." So what's Jesus doing? He's educating. He's talking about the word. The word is God. That's what he's talking about. And Philip is having a dysfunctional moment in his brain, and he's not defining who Jesus is properly. And Jesus is addressing this. "Believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves." So when I read this, what are the works? You know, when you read the New Testament, everybody wants miracles. Everybody wants a quick confirmation of Jesus, who he is, what he's able to do, perform a miracle. But I believe what Jesus is saying here, believe the works. When you know the blessings and the curses those works, in my opinion, are far greater than the miracles, the destruction of nations, the, you know, when you read the Old Testament, you had the Persians went down, the Babylonians went down, the Assyrians went down in that time frame. Nobody believes that. That's not even in people's minds. They just want a quick miracle. Those are the works that, like, yes, in my mind, when I, that's why it's important to know history other than biblical history, because when you see that stuff going on, like, you know that the word of God is truth, because the lack of their believing, they fall. I mean, especially white people. This thing like the Roman Empire, there's all kinds of empires that went down that were a lot of Israelites were in. And then look at the Chinese Empire. How long have those cats been around? How long has the people from India been around? I mean, they're about, I'm glad I'm not one of them, but they've been around a long time. Their empires have been established for thousands of years. How many years did the Roman Empire last? 2,000? I don't even know. But there was no longevity in them because there's a lot of Israelites were there. So, in my opinion, these are the works that we as Christian men and women should be paying attention to. That God does. I mean, look at what he did to Israel. He followed through with his word. You don't believe me? You're out. That's a pretty incredible work that people don't even pay attention to. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes me in me, the works that I do, he will do also the greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. What's Jesus? Who's Jesus? Who did he come for? It's very important to identify the proper Jesus versus the fake one. What are the works that we hear at Scriptures for America? What kind of works and result do we want? We want a unified nation? We want our people to know who Jesus Christ actually is and came for. We don't want to sell the fake Jesus. What's that work? The end result is his kingdom reigning and being far superior than the Babylonian system. That's the works that we want. That's the works that I want. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because the end result is I want my grandchildren and their children, generations down the road, to live in a secure place, to know God's will, what's God's will, his political system, so that way they have a better opportunity, understand why things are the way they are because of the sacrifices of their forefathers instead of the lack of sacrifices. Like, we'll say, you guys hear me talk about Josiah. He understood that the result of what his forefathers did put the target on him in a negative way. So he had to do a bunch of repenting. I want my generations that come from me, 2 and 3 down the road, to understand that the sacrifices that I did was their direct result, they have a secure place to live and to prosper. And I have to worry about things that you see in the big, we were just talking about it before the service. The things that we see going on in the land today, just down the road and back home in my hometown. You see people with no hope, addicted to drugs, zero education, zero hope. They look at the housing prices, they have no hope. Why? They don't even know where to begin. We have to begin here and try to reestablish as God's system to be supreme over the Babylonian system. And what do we have? We have a church system out there that pays zero attention to that. They're more interested in going to heaven. So you have to understand what kind of works that you want. What kind of works does God want? What kind of works does Jesus want? Does he want a miracle? I mean, that's cool. And don't get me wrong, sometimes you need that. But as the general, the whole thing, like, that's kind of irrelevant. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commands. He's talking about his system. If you love me, keep my commands. That way you know what box you can operate in. You understand the works that you want. The works that you want should be in line with what God wants. That's where the Babylonians fell. Time and time and time again. They'll build it up, it'll come back down. They'll build it up, come back down. So as I said earlier, God created all things. Positive, negative, good, bad, right, wrong, righteous, evil. You get the point. Turn with me to Matthew 7. So last week, when we replayed the sermon from back in December, it was around Christmas time. It's the real deal. That story and that history that was pointed out, which is the foundation of this ministry, it identifies who the real Jesus Christ is. It identifies who he came for. Who'd he come for? He, as he said in Matthew, when he was dealing with the Canaanite woman, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why? Because she had a writ of divorce, and he promised her dad, who was Abraham, that he would take care of her. And she was thrown out of the land. The land had a maledictory oath to it, so there's kind of two situations going on there that need to be taken care of. But he had given his heart to this girl, Israel. And as was said last week, Israel at one time was painted, you know, when you read in the Bible where it talks about Israel, how beautiful she was dressed and like the jewelry had, that all this stuff that her husband had given her, and she took it all for granted. All of his work, everything that he had done. She took the fact that God had driven out the Canaanites out of the land of old. She didn't value his intent. She didn't value his energy. He didn't value his work. And if you want to really irritate a man, take his work and what he puts his energy into for granted. Take it and act like it's not a big deal. Act like it's just, you know, from Israel's point of view, act like it's just kind of part of the deal and I can kind of go do what I want. Israel went crazy and she drank the wine of Babylon. She took on feminism to a whole new level. And all the men followed with her. Please, please. You know, I mean. But that man still, like, God still, like, I got to do something with this ability that I have. I have to do something with it. What am I going to do with all this? Like, I have all this stuff. And we were talking about God creates good and evil. What's he going to do with it? How many times have we read and we've spoken from this pulpit that if you're not going to believe the word of God, he would just soon that you believe a lie. In fact, he encourages it. You know, he's had spirits and angels go out and deceive Israelites to believe a lie. Why? Because of that lack of respect, lack of caring. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. So then you will know them by their fruits. We read in John 14, which I believe the works and fruits are the same thing. You have to know what are righteous works, fruits, and which ones are not. So, what fruits do we want? We want the nation to be turned around. We want the nation to glorify the great I am. We want the nation to use his political system as our governing system. If we don't want that, then all of this is for nothing. Why are we even showing up? Why do we keep coming back Sunday after Sunday if that's not what we actually want? So you know them by their fruits. You have to know what kind of fruits your end result is. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. What's his will? These people, these Judeo-Christians, do they do the will of his Father, of our Father? No. They don't. They think everybody is the same. They put everybody on the same playing field. We know Jesus was sent for the only lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform great miracles? So these people had his name. They did these great, which they thought were great works. And God's, you know, they're like, they have his name. They did all this stuff. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Their works were not what God wanted. Their works weren't, they weren't looking for the end, they weren't looking for the proper end result. And their sin was that they practiced his lawlessness. So you have these people, they believe that they're the bride of Christ. They know their New Testaments very well. Half the time when I get into a Christian debate with somebody back home, they know their New Testament or their New Testament front, up, down, left, right, sideways. I mean, their point of insertion is terrible, but they don't understand the result. So God, what he's doing here, he let these miracles take place. Remember what I said? He's got to do something with this energy. He's got to do it. She thought she was pleasing him, this fake bride. She was not his real bride. Why? Because she didn't know him. She didn't know him. And he allowed all this stuff to happen. Let's just think. What did Jesus say? When I return, am I going to find any faith? How do you get faith? Well, for one, you got to know what kind of works that are to be expected that make God happy. I personally think each and every one of us, even me, we need to do a self-examination. We are all guilty, each and every one of us. Women do not understand this about men. If a man has given heart to a woman, that woman, the only thing that that woman has to say to that man to get whatever she wants is she has to say, I believe in you. I believe in you. And that man will go cut down every tree in a county. He'll bulldoze every hill in the neighborhood to get what that woman wants, if her motives are correct. We have a husband here that is allowing this. Who cares? These quick Google quick miracles. But she didn't. These people here, they thought they believed in the right God. Even our people, us that know the truth, how much disbelief do we have? How much unbelief do we have? You read the stories. Just Gideon, that was one of Pastor Peter's favorite stories. Very few made the cut. They believed in the end result. They believed in God. And look at what God did. We need, as a ministry, I believe, and I'm just as guilty. I'm so busy. I got things going on. And I mean, I am guilty of not saying to my God, I believe in you. Because I know the business that I've started in the last few years. I was just talking with my partner the other day. He's like, you got to be careful. You're going to be doing self-manifestation. It's like, no. Like, the way the deal was structured in so much time, everything was going to be paid off. And there were scary times. And I thought we were going to tank and this and that. And we almost did. We literally just did not take the eye off the goal. Did not take, like, I'm going this way and I don't care what's going on. And now all of a sudden we're almost there. In a couple months, in 2 months, everything will be as we decided 3 years ago. We believed in the end result. The biggest problem with Christianity is they don't believe, they don't know who God's people are, and they don't believe what God wants as the end result. These people kind of believed, they believed in Babylonian bull. I would like to encourage, I'm almost out of time. I thought I didn't have enough time. I would like to encourage everybody that's listening to this and hears this message to go through their own lives and examine where they are falling short. And let's tell our God, our husband, that we actually believe in him. We're passing out communion right now. Because, yes, sir. Thank you. Just like that woman that is involved with that man that he has given her heart, she says that she believes in him, it activates his power. It activates it. Like, and if you're this woman that didn't know him, what was her end result? None of the his will wasn't done. And we are lucky because we can be instruments of executing his will. What do I mean by that? Like getting different legislation, pointing out to people Public Law 97-280, educating good. Because when people start acting in accordance to what God wants, what we are saying is we believe in him. It forces his hand to be powerful, not in a negative way, but in a positive way. So as we take communion this morning, I would request that all of you out there, that you examine your lives and like each step that you take, try to make it better. I mean, a lot of things in my life are a complete train wreck, you know? I mean, it's just the way it is. It's like you got so many things going on and, you know, being a parent, being a husband, being a business owner, trying to produce a lesson. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on all the time. Bad, and sometimes you don't care. And, you know, if my wife acts like she doesn't care about what I'm doing, I'm like, you know, I kind of am. I mean, I love my wife. She's awesome. A lot of you guys know her. But I don't care. And then, you know, it's not good. So as you take this communion in your lives, tell the Lord, the great I am, that I believe. I believe in you. That's why we're here. Let me pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the man that met Christ, that gave us this opportunity to recognize what he did that bought Israel back. Lord, we just thank you for the blessing that you have been to us. We ask for forgiveness for not taking you seriously, not believing in you. Lord, we ask that you forgive us of the sins that we've committed knowingly and unknowingly. Lord, if there's anything we overlooked, please overlook it. As we take this communion, let it be a blessing and not a curse to our bodies. Let it be a healing. Let our minds be healed. End result, if our mind's not right, it doesn't matter. So, Lord, let this lesson today be an effective, powerful tool. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. You may partake. And for those of you that belong to the true Jesus Christ, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, grant you peace. Out. There you go.
We praise thee, Lord, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Again, we praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain.